Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Dalet. And we begin by quoting the Mishnah on the very top line. And the Mishnah tells us, HaRachelim Yotzos Kibulos, the female sheep, the ewes, they go out with this Kivulos type of wrapping around them. What is this Kivulos? My Kivulos, the Gemara says, Shemachavlin Al Yoshalehen Lamata, you forcibly lower the tail of the sheep, that it covers up its area of genitalia, and this way, the ram can't go and mate with them. So you're physically protecting it, you're blocking the entrance so that the ram can't go and mate with them. Now, my mashma, the haikovu, lishno de lo ovid pevi, where do we see that this word kovul over here means that it will not allow the pregnancy to occur, that it won't allow the animal to mate, that it won't make peros, it won't have fruit? So Rashi already told us in Dibra Maslo Shekovlin that it means Loshon Kavle Barzo Kshur, that you're tying it down. But how do we know that this concept that it's called over here Kivulos means that it's going to stop? It could be tied down for something else. How do we know that it means to stop it down from getting mated, from getting pregnancy? So the Gemara says Dirsib because the Pasuk tells us, the Pasuk is from Malachim, and it tells us, Malachim Aleph, Ma Heorim Ha'ila Asher Nosato Li Ochi. Now, this is talking about when Hiram, who's the Melech of Tzur, he is being paid back by Shlomo HaMelech for all the work that he sent many craftsmen, many artisans, and Shlomo HaMelech is now paying him back for all of that. So he gave him a whole bunch of cities. So Hiram is asking Shlomo HaMelech, what are you giving me all these cities? By Ikrolahem Eretz Kovul Ariyom Hazeh. And he called them, these are cities or places of Kovul. What does it mean, my Eretz Kovul? What does he mean by this land over here of Kovul? So Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna explains it, Shayubah b'nei Adam shemuchubolim b'kesev uzar. There are many people over here that were bound with all sorts, like the Kavle Barzel, they were tied with lots of gold and silver. Now that sounds like it's a good thing. So Amar Rabba, so Rabba said to Rav Huna, Ihachi, so then why did he get upset about it? Hainu d'chsev, why are you telling me? The Pasuk says that really, instead of the words kilo, so the right girsa is velo yosh ubienav. Hiram was not happy about this. He told Shlomo HaMelech that, why are you giving me this land? It's not a good land. Now, if this was true, that there were lots of gold and silver, these people had lots of gold and silver, so why would that not be a positive thing? So why is Hiram upset that he gets this from Shlomo HaMelech? So Rav Huna answers and he says, Amalei, it's a negative thing. Why? Kivan da'at tire, because they're so rich, or mefanke, and they're very mifunakim, spoiled, I guess is a good word to translate mifunakim, they're living high on the land, so therefore, lo avdei avilta, they're not going to do the work that you want them to do. You think you're getting over here a city of workers, and you're getting a city of people that want to sit back and do nothing. So that's why he said this land is kovul, it won't produce. The people here aren't going to produce. That's what we see this lashon of kavulos means that the animal won't reproduce. Different answer is Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, Omar, Eretz Chomton Haisa. It was a land that had Chomton. What does that mean? Sirach says, Malecha Umispakas. It's a very salty land, and it's a broken land. In other words, this isn't a highly productive, fertile type of a land. And why is it called that? By my korele Kavul. So why do you see the name Kavul over here? So the Mishtar Gobo Kara Ad Kavla. Because person's foot, when he steps on this land over here, is going to sink in all the way, Rashi says, until the kulya, that is the ankle. Tosus, on the other hand, in Dibra Maskel, Ad Kavla says it means until the shok, until the thigh. In any event, your foot sinks into this land, it's so broken, it's so salty, it's not a fertile type of a land. So therefore, in the Amri Inchi, people say, the Gemara says, Ara Mekavla Dolo Ovet Peri, and that's why it was called, it was a land that your foot sinks into it, in other words, it's not a fertile land, Dolo Ovet Peri. That's what this Loshon of Kivulos means, non-productive, it's not going to produce, and that's why the tail is brought down over the genitalia of the female sheep, so that the ram can't go and impregnate it. Gemara continues and says, Kivunos, that the females, the sheep, the ewes, are allowed to go out with this wrapping around them called kivunos. So what is this? So my kivunos. So Gemara says, shemachabnin oso lemelas, that it's used over here, Rashi says, in Dibra Masu shemachabnin, koshrin beget svivav, they would go and tie some sort of a garment around them over here, on the day that they were born, B'yom Shinolad, the day that the baby sheep is born, on that day, when its tzimro is very naki, it's very, very clean, from it didn't have any exposure to dirt, U'mishamer tzimro shalyatanik, so they would wrap it around on the day that it was born, they'd wrap it up so that the wool would be white as snow. The wool would be very white. And if you see on the side, it says, look in Rashi over here in Yecheskel Chavzayin Yerches, and Gilyan Asha says the same thing. And if you go look over there, it tells us that on the day that the baby was born, as the baby comes out, the mother, the ewe, goes and licks clean the area of the wool of the baby, and then the owner puts this special type of a protective cover around it called tsemer tzachar. Tzachar means lavan, white, and this maintains this wool in being the most pristine state. So that's what it's referring to over here, and we'll see in the Gemara, it talks about this whiteness over here is actually used, and we had in yesterday's parasha of Tazria Metzora, so it talks about certain types of lesions that are known as Se'es. Now let's see the sign of the Gemara. So this kivunos over here, they would wrap this around it in order to maintain the whiteness of this brand new baby born's wool. Kiditnan, like we learned in the Mishnah, Negoim tells us, dealing with nega of tzaras, Se'es, the type of nega called the Se'es, is as white as kitsemer lova, like this white wool over here of this white baby wool that has never been dirtied. And Ma'itzemer Lava, what does this mean? So Amar Bibi Rabai, he says that this is Kitzemer Noki Ben Yomo, this is the wool from the brand new baby lamb that's born, Shemechavdin Oso Lemelas, that they would go and wrap around this garment to keep it pristine and to keep it nice and clean. The Gemara continues by quoting the Mishnah where it says, Izim Yotzos Tzuros. So the goats, they could go out Tzuros. So that was the Tanakam's opinion. Then we had the opinion of Yossi says, no, they can't. And then we had the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says they can go out with this tzuros if the purpose over there was just to dry up the udder so that the animal wouldn't produce any more milk, but not to go and collect the milk from the animal. So those were the three opinions that we had in the Mishnah. So Gemara says, Itmar, Rabba Mar Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. Rab Paskin, like Rabbi Yehuda, that if it's done for the purposes of drying up the udder, that's allowed, but if it's done for the purposes of collecting the milk, then it's not allowed. So Rav Paskin is like Rav Yehuda. Shmuel Amar Halachi Rav Yossi. Shmuel Paskin like the middle sheet. Rav Yossi says, no, you're not allowed to go out with the tzuros no matter what. So that's the first version that we have of this discussion. Others learned that this was a separate individual statement that Rav and Shmuel were making with each other. That Rav Amar Liyavesh Mutter, if you're putting it on for the purpose of drawing up the udder, so then it's allowed. Below Lechale. But if you're putting it on to collect the milk, then you're not allowed to have the sheep go out tzuros. Now, Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel Amar, Echod Zeh V'Echod Zeh Osir. He says both are Osir. Now, why didn't they go and say, if this is Tanoic statements, why didn't Rav say, I hold like Rav Yehuda, like the first version had it, and Shmuel say, I hold like Rav Yossi, like the first version had it. So Tosus points out over here, in the little Tosus, Rav Amar Liyavish Mutter, says, Vim Tamar, Lei Mamar Halach Kamar, why doesn't the Amoraim say the Halach is like the Tanoim? That's always the way it's done. We don't find an Amora quoting a Tana without giving him acknowledgement. So Tosus answers, Yesh Lomar, Yishom the Iko the Mavchilu Latanoi, because the appellation over here as to which Shita was which wasn't clear. So there were those that had it like Argius, that Rabbi Yehuda was the Makel, and Rabbi Yossi was the Machmir, the others that had it in a different way. So in order not to have any confusion, Rav said, I Paskin over here, that you can go out Liyavish, but you can't go out for the Cholov. And Shmuel said, I say both of them are Osir. Instead of saying it's like a certain Tana, which could have led to a mistake, so they actually said what the Psak is. That's the second version over here. The third version is, Viko Demasne Lo Aho. Others said that this goes on the following statement. The Braisa tells us, Izim Yotzos Tzuros Liyavish Avalo L'Chalev. The Braisa says that the goats are allowed to go out Tzuros Liyavish, but not L'Cholov, not in order to collect the milk. However, Mishum Rav Yehuda Meseira Amru, Rav Yehuda Meseira commented on this and he says, Kach Halacha, that's absolutely correct. That is the right way, which we had in our Mishnah, that was the attribution to Rav Yehuda. But he says, Rav Yehuda Meseira says, Avol mi meifetz, who's going to do a lottery, so to say, to know what this person is doing? As Rashi points out, it's an interesting lashon. Mi matul goron, who's going to make a lottery? Umavkin ezo liyavesh ezo lechalev. How are you going to know if the animal is tied over here with this tzuros, with this garment that is collecting the milk, or is it binding it so it doesn't produce the milk? How are you going to know that? Varos, Rashi continues, tzuros, the person who sees them going out bundle like this, and it was really liyavesh, omer de lechalifu. He's not going to know what he's doing. And somebody's going to say, oh, I see you're allowed to go out, because he didn't realize it was liyavesh, which is the halacha that you're allowed to, and he's going to say it's lechalif, to collect the milk, which you're not allowed to. So therefore, review the Maseri says, there's no way to know. Ezo liyavesh, ezo lechalif. And therefore, mitoch shein makirin echod zeh, v'echod zeh, osur. Because you can't tell. So he says, the better part of valor will be is to say that they're both osur. How do we paskin on this? Amar Shmuel, b'yamir lo Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel halach Rav Yehuda Misera, and this is where Shmuel made a statement that halach is Rav Yehuda Misera, that you can't go out with either one because we can't tell which one is which. Tosfos asks over here, why did Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel say that the halach is like Rav Yehuda ben Misera? We could have said the halach is like Rav Yossi. Both of them, Rav Yehuda ben Misera lemaisa and Rav Yossi beferish, say that you can't go out with the tsuros, whether it's for the purpose of the liyavesh or the purpose of lechale, because Rav Yossi says you can, and Rav Yehuda ben Seira says because you can't distinguish between them. So why did he say over here that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda ben Seira? He could have said that halacha is like Rav Yossi. So Tosfos in says, no, in a place where nobody goes out to collect the chalav, so then everybody's going out just liyavesh, so then there is no lottery. There is no reason to suspect it. And the halacha is like Rav Yehuda ben Seira. He would allow it in that place. Rav Yossi would still not allow it. That's why Rav Yehuda the Amora, when he said over the name of Shmuel, halach is Rav Yehuda ben Seira, it was specifically telling us halach is like Rav Yehuda ben Seira and not like Rav Yossi. Finally, the Gemara concludes and it says, Kiyosa Ravid, when Ravid came from Eretz Yisrael, Amr Rav Yochanan, he said the name Rav Yochanan, halach is Tana Kama. The halach is like the Tana Kama. Now Rashi understands this as a totally separate statement. It means the Tana Kama of Amishnah, who is the Shari B'Tavayu L'Chatchila, who says it's absolutely good to go out L'Yavesh or even L'Chalev. Although others understand it over here, that it means that he holds like the Tana Kama that says that you're allowed to go out tsuros liyavesh avolo lechalev, and we don't worry about people not being able to tell the difference. As long as you're going out liyavesh, it's allowed. That concludes this discussion. We begin the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah begins, Ubame Eino Yotza. With what can the animal go out on Shabbos? Was the first Mishnah that we had in the Perek. Now we continue, Ubame Eino Yotza. What the animal is not allowed to go out with on Shabbos, that's what this Mishnah is going to talk about. So the Mishnah tells us, Lo yetze gomol b'mitultelis. The gomol, the camel, is not allowed to go out with a mitultelis. We have three definitions of what this mitultelis is. If you look in Rashi, Dibra Maskel mitultelis, so he tells us, yesh mefarshim, it's pushla, shetacha znovo. Now we learned this the other day in discussing the ukaf, the saddle, on a donkey. So we said you can't go out with it tied down if it's very, very low tied down around the tail or very, very high tied down towards the neck, because as the animal is going up the hill, it's going to slide back, and that prevents it from doing so. Or if the animal is going down the hill, it's going to slide forward, and that prevents it from doing so. And that was called the pushla. The last thing was called the pushla if you tied it there. And that's clearly being used for carrying for market purposes, and it isn't allowed. So Rashi tells us over there, this mitul teles is a pushla. You're not allowed to go and use this on Shabbos because it's clearly for carrying purposes, for burdening the animal. Alternatively, the Yesh Mefarshim says, Mardas, this is like a warming blanket, and Rashi prefers this explanation, because he says, if it was the first one, this pushla, so he says, the Gemara is going to tell us that we're concerned, Shema Tipol, and that it may fall off, and that you're going to carry it, Dalet Amos, which is a rabbit. But if it's tied on tightly, like the pushla, that would never happen. So Rashi prefers this pshat. But then Rashi, later on, in the Dibra Maskil Bishul Yasa, gives us another pshat. The linear, my preferred pshat, he says, is mitulteles, it's kar koton, it's a small pillow, mole mochin, it's filled with fluff, noslo tachas azonav, and they would put it underneath the tail area, kideil shalo tashchis haritzua habasar, so that the strap that's tied over there doesn't macerate the flesh of the camel. Lefi shamasui sh'al gabo sh'agamol, Yored, when the camel's carrying something and is going downhill, so the package is going to tend, as we said, to go forward, so it's held in place by the strap around the tail, and that's going to macerate the skin over there, and therefore the ritsua is preventing this from happening. It's going to rub into the skin, so they put this small pillow over there. That's the preferred pshat that Rashi has. So you're not allowed to go out with this mitul teles. Mishnah continues, says, likewise, lo akud, velo ragul. The Gemara will explain what akud and ragul are. Basically, akud means you're like akedas yitzchak. We'll see that the front and back leg are tied together. The right front and back leg or the left front and back leg are tied together. Or ragul means that the leg is bent up. One leg is bent up on itself and it basically is folded over and tied. So this way, the animal is left really on three legs to walk, and therefore it won't run away. So this akud and ragul, you also can't go out with the camel tied in that fashion. This doesn't only apply to a camel. This akud and ragul applies to all other animals as well. Likewise, the Mishnah says, and the Gemara will discuss that in more detail. Lo yikshar gimalim zebazeh. You're not allowed to tie all the camels in a single file, one to the other, v'yimshoch, and then bring it into wherever you're taking them, because it looks like you're taking them to the marketplace. Because when they go in single file like that, that's the normal way to take it to the marketplace. Avo machnis chavolim l'soch yado, but you could hold all the camels' reins in your hand, not one tied to the other, tied to the other, tied to the other, but you're holding all the camel's reins in your hand, and that's a lot, because that's not the way they normally would bring it to the marketplace. However, the yimshoch, you can do it in that way, but you can't fold them over. We'll see and define what yichroch means, what the concern is if they're folded over or tied together, there's a problem. Gemara will explain what that is. So let's go to the Gemara now. Gemara starts off and says, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, lo yetzia gomo bimutul teles, hakshura lo biznovo. The animal can't go out with this mitul teles, this like, let's say this small pillow, like Rashi says, tied to the tail area. Abo yotziu bimutul teles, hakshura biznovo, ubichutraso. But if it's tied not only to the tail area, but it's also tied to the hump, the chutraso is the hump of the camel, that is allowed. Rashi says, because it won't fall off in that which situation. It's tied on tightly, and as Rashi says, biznovo ubichutraso, the kim and the kshur bishnam, it's tied to both of them, lo nafla, it won't fall off. So that's allowed. He adds an additional din. You can go out with this mitutelis, let's say this pillow, if it's attached to the shuya, the placenta that's coming out of the animal, because this would be very painful, Rashi says. If the animal tried to remove this, the kivin dekoyed, it would be very painful. It's not going to go and dislodge it. So therefore, again, there is no concern that you come to pick this up and carry it to Alad Amos and Ishu Sarabin. Then we say the Mishnah, lo akud lo rogu. What does that mean? So the Amora of Yehuda says, Amor of Yehuda, akud means akedas yad viregel ki yitzchak ben Avraham. This is tying the front and back leg to each other. Let's say the right front leg to the back front leg in a stretched backwards position. So this arches the neck and makes it very easy to go and shaft. And this is what Avram Avinu was ready to do, the Yitzchak, at the akedas Yitzchak. So he did this in this fashion that it would be easier to go and shecht Yitzchak. Now, that's what akud means, like the akedas Yitzchak, the front and back leg are tied together behind the person, so it arches his body and his neck is open. Ragu, what does that mean? Shelo yikof yado al gabe zro, that you don't fold the leg, either the front leg or the back leg, on itself, and then you bind it, v'yikshar, and this way the animal is only left standing on three legs, and both of these are done in order that the animal shouldn't run away. You're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. Now, Meisvei, we have a braisa that seems to suggest that Rav Yehuda, the Amora here, is incorrect. Why? Meisvei, it says in the braisa, akud means shtei yodayim v'shtei raglayim. You're going and tying both forelegs or both hind legs together, not the right foreleg with the right hind leg and the left foreleg, or the left foreleg with the left hind leg, but it means both forelegs together or both hind legs together. And ragu means shlo yikov yodo agabi zro v'yiksha. That was correct. That he had 100% right, that he didn't fold it over. But he's the Amora, Rav Yehuda. He can't argue with this braisa. So what's Rav Yehuda doing? So Gemara says, who, Rav Yehuda, the Amora, the Amar ki hai tana. He had another tana that he held like, and therefore he can argue with this braisa. Why? The tanya, it says in this braisa, akud akedas yad v'regel. If you did the tying of the front leg and the back leg together, or, oh, shtei yodayim shtei raglayim, or both front legs or both hind legs together, that's what's called akud. So that is like what Rav Yehuda said, at least the first part. Ragu, what does ragu mean? Shlo yikov yado, agav zro v'yiksha. That's what we said before. Everybody agrees what ragu is, that you fold over the leg on itself and bind it so it only has three legs to walk on. Now, this is where Rav Yehuda got it from. But the Gemara says that's not really right. Vakatsi lo dami. It's not exactly right. Bishlomo reisha v'seifa nicha. The first part that said it's binding the front leg and the back leg on the same side, that's true. And the last part which said what rogel was, that you fold it over the leg, that's true. But the middle part, mitziyasu kasha, he says that you can tie both front legs together or both hind legs together, and that's also called awkward. But Rav Yehuda the Amora didn't say that. So again, Rav Yehuda the Amora has no tana to stand on. So Gemara says, Elohu, the Amora of Yehuda, Damar ki haitana. He held like this following third braisa, where it says, Beferish, like Rav Yehuda the Amora said, Akud, akidas yad viregal, kitzach ben Avram. Awkward means tying the front right leg with the back right leg, or the front left leg with the back left leg. That's what awkward means, exactly like the Amor review just said. And Ragol, as everybody said, nobody disagrees that, Shalo Yikov Yadu Agabi Zerov Yikshar, that you fold the leg over on itself and tie it so that it only walks on three legs. So now we understand what awkward and Ragol are. Then we said in the Mishnah, Velo Yikshar Gimalim, you're not allowed to line all the camels up in single file and have the rein from camel number 5 be attached to camel number 4, attached to camel number 3, then to camel number 2 and camel 1, and you just hold the rein of camel number 1 and it will all follow. That's you're not allowed to do. My time, but why not? Ravashi explains, Mishum de Mechse Kimanda Ozu Lechinga. It looks like you're going to the market. Chinga is the marketplace. And therefore, as Rashi says, this is Lushuk, to the marketplace, Lemochram, and you're going to sell it there. He says, Chinga means Al Shem, Shesovim and Sashuk, Mecholos, Mecholos, Agulos of Neodam. Because you're going around in circles. A Chinga is like a circle, a Machol, and therefore, that's why he gets its name over here, that you're taking it to the Chinga, to the marketplace. The Rabbeinu Chananel over here brings down from the Yerushalmi, Shtoyu Omrim Ploni Yotzi Lasos Melocha B'Shabbos, that nobody should be saying, oh, he's taking them out to go do his Melocha on Shabbos, and he says that Chinga comes from the word Miloshon Chagid, Chagigas Nochrim. This was like the place where the Nochrim would gather. Then the Mishnah continues, Avo Machnes, but you are allowed to go and collect them all in your hand and schlep along all the camels when you're directly attached to each of them with their reins. Ravashi qualifies this as Lo Shanu El Inyan Kilayim. This din, the only concern over here was because of Kilayim. Now the word says Kilayim to mind. What are you talking about over here, Kilayim? Ilema Kilayim the Odom. If you're telling me the problem is that an Odom is, so to say, working with a camel, and that's Kilayim of two species working together, like Shor and Chamor, you're not allowed to work together. But now we learned in the Mishnah in Kilayim that a man is never Kilayim with an animal. Odom mutu im kulam. There is no din of Kilayim with a man going and plowing with a cow. There's no problem of Kilayim. Lachrosh v'limshoch, whether he's plowing with it or he's pulling something along with it. With a shor and a chamar, there's a problem of Kilayim. But not with a person and an animal. So that can't be what we're concerned about, that the camel is somehow pulling something and he's pulling the camel, so therefore he's doing Kilayim work with the camel. That's not a concern. So what type of Kilayim are we worried about over here? Elo Kilayim de Chavolim, that the ropes over here are Kilayim. So let's say you have a rope that's made of wool and a rope that's made of linen, and now you're wrapping them around your hand, so your hand is benefiting from Kilayim. It's getting warm from Kilayim, and that's not allowed. So Gemara says, now the Girsa that we have is Vohatanya, but it says on the side that this really is a Mishnah in Kilayim. It should be Vihatnan. A Mishnah is always introduced with Vihatnan, and a Brice is always introduced with Vihatanya. In any event, Vohatnan it should be Hatokev Tichkifa Achas Enochibor. So when you have over here a wool and linen garment or string tied together, if it's only one tie, that's not considered Kilayim. That's not considered a Chibor for the din of Kilayim. So over here, how is this a problem that it's wrapped around his hand? He's holding the rein of wool and linen. There's no kilayim over here. It's only wrapped around once. There's only tekifa achas. So Gemara says, Leolam kilayim de chavolam. No, the real answer over here is that there is a concern of kilayim over here of the ropes. One is linen, one is wool. Why is this a problem over here? Ubavad shol yichrok v'yikshar, that you can't do over here a double binding, either that it's bound in some way with two threads together, or it's tied in some way. So it's a double binding, that's where it's a problem. And that's why the person can't wrap it around his arm, because they'll be getting benefit, they'll get hana from the kilayim. That's assuming that it was yichrok v'yikshar. That's how Rashi understands this over here. That there's either a steak to kifos that you have over here, it's two sewed together, or it's bound together in some way. So this makes it into kilayim if it's bound twice. Once it won't be, but twice it will be. Amar Shmuel, he qualifies this a little bit further, and he says, "Uvach lo yetzei chevel mitachas yodo tefach," that the part of the rope that's coming out of your hand, you're holding onto the rope, and now part of the rope afterwards is extending beyond your hand. He says it can't extend more than a tefach. Anymore says, in the base medrash of Shmuel, they said tvachayim, it can't extend more than two tvachim. Here Shmuel said one tefach. Why does this base medrash say two tvachim? So Abaye answered that very simple. Om Abaye, hashta the Omer Shmuel. Now the Shmuel tells us over here tefach, the ton of the Shmuel tvachayim, and the ton of the Shmuel says that it's tvachayim. So the answer is Shmuel halacha lemaisa osa lashmina. Shmuel is telling us the practical halacha. If after the fact somebody would come and say, oh, did I do an Isser over here? The answer would be no. Because up to two tvachayim is up to two tefachim, two tefachs, that's not an iser. But when you're teaching this, tell everybody only one tefach, so therefore you made like a cushion over here that people won't, if they do extend a little bit more than a tefach, they'll still be within the realm of being okay. But you tell them one tefach, and therefore if they go up to two tefachim, so they'll still be okay, because the real din is up to two tefachim. So Shmuel is coming along to tell us over here, the halacha lemaisa. Gemara says, wait a second, we turn to Yomi Beis, well, Tanya, but we see, Ubuvad Shiagbia Minakarka Tefach. We have another brisa that says that it only has to be a tefach above the ground. It seems to be many more tefachim out of your hand. So there seems to be a contradiction between this brisa and the other brises that we just had. So Gemara says, no, this brisa, Kitanya hi bechavlo de beni beni. That's talking about between the camel and your hand. So there, as long as it's a tefach above the ground, it doesn't look like anything is being carried. No, we said a tefach or tefachayim, that's when it comes out of your hand and it's going down to the ground, so then it shouldn't be more than one tefach, albeit b'dieved. If it's up to two tefachim, you're still okay. So they're talking about different parts. One part, we're talking about it shouldn't be, it should be at least a tefach above the ground, that's between the camel and your hand. And when we said it shouldn't be more than a tefach, but it could be theoretically at least up to two tefachim, that's when it leaves your hand and it's beyond your hand extending out. Next Mishnah. Ein chamor yotzi b'mardas bisman she'eno kishur lo. Now this is a continuation of what we had previously on Daf Nun Gimel, where we said the chamor can go out with the mardas as long as it was tied on Friday afternoon. Can't go out if it's tied on Shabbos, but it can go out if it's tied on Friday afternoon. And here it tells us that it can't go out if it's not tied on Friday afternoon, and certainly it can't go out if it's tied on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara will explain everything in our Mishnah. It will tell us this, we already learned, so it won't discuss it any further, but I just told you what we learned previously. Now it's going to tell us a whole bunch of other things, which we'll just translate right now, because we'll explain them more in the Gemara. He says, the chamor can't go out over here, below the zug, with a bell, afal pishu pakuk, even though the bell is plugged. In other words, you put some sort of cotton or other material inside, so the clangor doesn't bang on the bell. So by a cow, we said that was okay, but here, by a chamor, it's not okay. And the Gemara will explain every reason why not. You can't go out with this ladder-like structure, which is like a collar that you see on a dog in order to prevent the dog from scratching itself. So they have these big, like, cylindrical collars that they put around the dogs. So this is exactly the same thing, the sulam, around the neck of the donkey, so it shouldn't go and scratch itself. So you're not allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. You can't go out with a certain strap around its leg. The Gemara will explain what this means as well. The chickens also can't go out with certain strings around the legs, and not with certain other types of straps around their legs. Again, the Gemara will explain every one of these, so we'll wait till we get to the Gemara to explain them. Likewise, the rams, the male sheep, can't go out with this wagon-like structure that is holding up their tail behind them. More will explain what the concern is. The tail is a very fluffy, non-bony structure that's going to go on the ground, and it's going to get ruined, so they would put a wagon underneath it. So you're not allowed to go out with that on Shabbos as well. And the female sheep, the ewes, they can't go out yotzos, chanunos, they can't go out with this item called chanunos. The Gemara will explain exactly what this is. And a goat can't go out with something called a gimon. The Gemara will explain what this is as well. That's the gear that we have. And a cow can't go out with this type of a hide of the animal known as a kupar. Now, the aruch on the side over here says that this is a kupod. Now, a kipod in modern Hebrew is a porcupine, and that's exactly what this sounds like. Rashi explains that this is some sort of a structure that will protect the udder of the cow from various creatures from sucking at the udder of the cow. So they put a prickly type of leather around it in order to protect the cow's udder. Likewise, it says, the cow can't go out with some sort of a strap in between its horns. And the Mishnah tells us, a Maisa Shahoya, whenever we have a Maisa Shahoya, it's always to show you that this is the halacha. Paraso Shirabi Elazar ben Azariah, Haisa Yotza Biritzua Shaben Karneah, the cow of none other than Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he went out, he let his cow go out over here with the Ritzua Shaben Karneah. But shelo b'ratzon chachamim, it wasn't with the permission of the chachamim. Again, very strange that Rav Elazar ben Azariah would go again, since the Gemara will explain that it wasn't Rav Elazar ben Azariah, it was his a female neighbor of his, and since he had the ability to go and tell her not to do it, and he didn't, so he's held accountable. That would be a very interesting discussion in the Gemara. Let's start the Gemara now. Gemara says, my taima, why can't the chamor go out with the mardas that wasn't tied on before Shabbos? So kidamor, because we said, if it wasn't tied on before Shabbos, we're concerned that it's going to fall off and you carry a dalet amos b'shus harabim. So therefore, that's why it must be tied on before Shabbos. If it's not tied on before Shabbos, it can't go out with it. Then we said, v'lo bezug, we can't go out with the bell, apa b'shul pakur, even though it's stuffed up, it doesn't clang. So Gemara says, why? Mishum demechse, commander azul l'chinga. Because again, the only time they would put this on a donkey was if they were going to sell it in the marketplace. And therefore, it looks over here like you're going to go take the animal to go sell it. We already said that this is like a special protection around the neck of the chamor. Rav Huna, beilua. It's known as a beilua. What is this type of a cylindrical collar around the neck of the chamor supposed to do? So the Gemara says, lamai avdilei, lehecha d'islei maka. It has some sort of a wound there. The lohadur chayech be. It shouldn't go and scratch the wound, bite the wound, and macerate the wound. So therefore, it would normally be worn on a weekday, but you can't go wear this on Shabbos. It's a burden for the animal. Then we said, "Lo ritzur shiraglo, it can't go out with some sort of a strap around its legs." So why is that? The adile le gizra, the Gemara says. What is this gizra? So Rashi tells us that sometimes it would be knock-kneed in some way, and that the animal was going to go bang itself, so they had to put some sort of a rope to prevent the knees from banging against each other, the legs from banging against each other. So this is the ritzur shiraglo does this, so you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. Then Gemara continues and says, "Ve'ena tana golim yotzim b'chutin." The chickens can't go out with a certain type of string around them. What's the purpose of that string? The adile simona. So this string was put on there to show ownership. Oh, this is my chicken, that's your chicken. I have the red strings, you have the blue strings, and therefore our chickens won't get mixed up. So it's no benefit to the chicken, therefore you can't go out with it on Shabbos. The chickens can't go out with some sort of strap around their legs as well. Why is that? The adile, they put this strap around the chicken's legs. If the chickens, so to say, had their legs free, they would be constantly kicking up pebbles, and those pebbles would shoot out and potentially break utensils that might be in the yard. So therefore, you want to protect your utensils in the yard, so you would do this. On a weekday, you would do this, but on Shabbos, it's a burden for the animal. You're not allowed to do this. Then it says, the rams over here can't go out in this situation with this wagon for their tails. Why was that? In order that their tails shouldn't get destroyed. Rashi says that in this situation, their tail would be damaged by the rocks and the tarshim, the stones, and therefore this would be damaging to the tail. So they would normally on a week they'd put out the tail on this wagon that would follow the trail behind the animal. On Shabbos you can't do this, it's a burden for the animal. Then we say, the sheep, the female sheep can't go out with their body chanunos. What is that? So Yosef, Rav Acha Bar Ula, Kameh Rav Chisda. Rav Acha Bar Ula was sitting in front of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda was the Rebbe. He was the Talmud. For Yosef, and he sat. V'komar, and he sat. Now, what's this double lush of Yosef? So I've mentioned this many, many times. The way they would sit in their shir was they would sit in their shir quietly. If they had a question, they didn't raise their hand, they stood up. If the Rebbe acknowledged them, so then they could ask the question, but then they could go sit down again. So he had a question to ask. He was acknowledged. He asked the question, but he sat down. V'komar, and he said, Mishar shegozes in osa tomnim lo azok b'shemen umenichin lo al padachto kidei shalot itz tanin. So he wanted to explain this chanunos was that when the sheep was sheared, so then they would go and smear it over here with some oil, and they would put the cloth with the oil on its forehead in order that it should not be chilled. In other words, after they sheared it, it was missing its coat, so they would warm it up in this way. Now, this is a pretty high-maintenance type of a methodology, and the Gemara says that his Rebbe told him, the Rav Chisda told Rav Acha Bar Ula, Amale Rav Chisda to the Talmud, Rav Acha Bar Ula, in Cain, if this is the way you're treating the sheep, Asisim Mar Ukva, you're making them all into Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva was the head of the Jewish community. We'll see later on. He was the Av Beis Din. He was a very, very chush of a person. He was the leader of the Jewish community. So therefore, you're basically treating this sheep over here like the head of the Jewish community, that you're putting a washcloth on, and you're putting some oil on its forehead. So that's not right. Ella, what is the right pshat of Chanunos? Ella Yosef Rapapa Bar Shmuel, Kameder of Chista, the same exact thing. Others say it was Rav Nachman. He was sitting there, the Yosef Kamar, and he was given permission to talk, so he was acknowledged. Now he could sit down, and he said, you know what Chanunos is? Bishah Shekoras Leleit, when the sheep is giving birth, Tomnim Law, Shnei Azokin Shoshem, they make over here two wath cloths over here of oil, and they put one on the forehead and one on the rechem, so the sheep should not be cold. Again, now we had the Girsu Rav Chista, and I said on the side, it said the Girsu is Rav Nachman, it makes more sense. Amalei Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman responded back to his Talmud, and he said, Imkei Masisa Yalta, you made this sheep that's giving birth like the great woman Yalta, the wife of Rav Nachman. How you treated the sheep in such a great way. So he says, that's not right. Ella, what does Chanunos mean? Ella, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, Eitz Echod Yesh B'Krachayam. There's a certain type of wood that's found in the overseas area, the Krachayam, the islands or the cities out in the Yam. The Chanun Shmo is known as Chanun. Oh, now we know why it's called Chanunos. This type of wood is called Chanun. Omevi in Kisem, they would take a piece of wood, a splinter of this wood. Omenich in Law B'Chotman, they would stick it up the nose of the sheep, of the female sheep. Kidei Sheis Atish. Since this Ashtesh should sneeze, the Yiplu Daroni Rosha, and all the worms that were inside its forehead over here would go and come out. This sneeze would shake out all the worms that were infesting this sheep, and this was done to get rid of the sheep's worms. Now, where it says, Ihachi, if this is true, Zacharim Nami, then why is it only for the females? They would want to get the worms to delouse, so to say, the male sheep as well as the female sheep. So where it says, no. The males, even the menagche zucharim badade, they're constantly butting heads. So mimela noflon, that also gets the worms to come out. So they don't need to give it this wood over here to get the worms out. But the females that aren't so aggressive, so they need to get it out in this fashion. Similarly, Shimon Nazira, that was his name, Amar Kisma de Risma. It was a certain type of splinter made from rosum wood, the Risma. Now, we understand why the interpretation that we said was from the wood that was known as Chanun, Bishlam the Rav Huna, his interpretation, Hainu Diktani Chanunos. We understand why they were called Chanunos. You can't put this type of wood in their nose and carry it out on Shabbos, but we understand why it's called Chanunos, because it's Chanun wood. El Rabban and all the other interpretations that we had, it was some sort of a washcloth with oil on the forehead and on the womb, or it was another type of rosin wood. So then, all these other opinions, my Chanunos, why did they get the name Chanunos from? So Gemara says, "Dadina lu milso demerachaminon alayu," because they all come from the lashon of chanun virachum. So therefore, these were all merciful things that were done for the benefit of the sheep. So they were called chanunos. You can't go out with these merciful types of actions. Then we quote the Mishnah of Ein Ego Yotze Begimon. The goat can't go out with something called a gimon. What is this gimon? My ego begimon. So Amar Rav Huna, it means bar nira. This is like a certain type of a halter that forces the head of the animal down into a submissive position. So that's what this gimon is. Where do we see this from? Amar Rav Elazar, my mashma da hai gimon lishto de mekap. Where do we see that this lashon of gimon means that your head is bent over? So he brings down a pasuk from Yeshaya where it says, halachov ki agmon rosho. The pasuk says that they bent their heads like a fish hook, and agmon is a fish hook, and gimon and agmon are cognate, and therefore it means over here that the animal should be bent down, it should be in a submissive position. You teach the animal from a young age to be in this submissive position, it will stay that way when it gets older. So therefore, this gimon is not allowed to be used on Shabbos. Doesn't serve any benefit for the animal. It's for your benefit, therefore it's a burden for the animal. We continue quoting the Mishnah, where it says, "Lo par biara kupar," or kupad, like the gears of the arrow. You can't go out with this porcupine type of a leather pouch around the udder of the cow. Why? Why would they do this? The of the law, kihechid lo limitsuye yali. They did this so that these various creatures, known as yali, Rashi explains, "Oveshlo yinakua aluka," some sort of a leech. So this was done to protect the udder of the cow. So on a weekday, no problem. But on Shabbos, since it's not for the benefit of the cow, it's for your benefit, so therefore you can't do this. It's considered a burden if the cow carries this. Finally, the Mishnah said, "Lo biritzur shebein karnei." Likewise, the cow can't go out with some sort of a strap around its horns. Shmuel says, "Why not? Ilu Rav, if it's going to Rav, so we had previously ben lenoi ben l'shamer osur." He said you can't go out with this type of a structure. We learned previously whether it's for an adornment or even if it's for shmirah purposes to be able to hold on to lead the cow. And ilu Shmuel, it was according to Shmuel. He said lenoi is osur, l'shamer is mutter. So then it was he's talking about here lenoi. Fine. Then we said a Maisa Shoya, Parasa Shoya, Lazar ben Azariah was, so to say, going out with this. Where it says, number one, V'chod para Havile, did he only have one cow? But Lazar ben Azariah was fantastically wealthy. Remember, we learned the Gemara in Brachos that he was chosen to replace Rabban Gamliel because he was so wealthy. One of the reasons why he was so wealthy. V'amarav, others say V'amilo, Amar Yehuda Amarav, Teresa Alfi Egle, Havi Maisa, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Meadre. Every year he would go and give 12,000 cows maisa. That means he had 120,000 cows that were born that year. So every year he had a huge amount of cows that were born. So what are you saying? His cow went out. He had hundreds of thousands of cows. Now Tosus points out over here, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah lived right during the time of the Churban Bayis. He took over from Gamliel, and this was already after the Churban Bayis, and he was 18 years old. So how could he have given so many years, year after year? So some say it was the apotropist that gave it on his behalf, and others say, no, he did it for a short period of time. And others say, no, he did it for the rest of his life. Who said it was when he was 18 years old? They even still gave Maisa Behema after the Churban. And these are all possible terutzim. That's to say what it meant, kol shas v'shas, every year of his life, or for many, many years, when he wasn't around during the time of Beis HaMikdash, for many years of his life. In any event, Tana, we learned that the Braisa, lo shalo ha'isa, the Braisa expands further on our Mishnah. The Braisa tells us that it wasn't his cow. It was his next-door neighbor, a lady who lived next door. It was her cow. Since he didn't protest that she was letting her cow go out with this ritzua, it was considered his responsibility and he was held accountable for it. The Gemara tells a very interesting din. Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva, they all said the following halacha. Masnu, they said the following halacha. But the Gemara has an aside. Bekuli, they say the moed, kol ki hai zuga, chalufei Rabbi Yochanan, umayel Rabbi Yonasan. Before we go and tell you what they said, there's an opinion that throughout the Seder of Moed, throughout this Seder of Gemara, of Mishnayis, whenever you have these four mentioned, substitute for Rav Yochanan, Rav Yonasan. In any event, these four said the following. Kol mi shevsho limchos anshe beso, v'lo micha, if you could protest somebody in your family doing something wrong and you don't, nitpas al anshe beso, you will be held accountable. If you're the husband, the father of the family, and your family is doing something wrong, and you don't say anything, hey, listen, I'm not doing it wrong. If you don't interrupt, they're doing something wrong, and you had the power to do so. They would have listened to you, then you're held accountable for it. Ban Shiro, you're a hush of a person. The people in your city will listen to you. And you don't say something to them, nitfas alan Shiro. You'll be held accountable for their sins. B'chol Olam Kulo, you're a very, very hush of a person. You're the Gadol HaDor. You're a very influential person. And everybody else is doing something wrong. And you don't speak up, nitfas al kol Olam Kulo. You will be held accountable for their doing something wrong because you had the ability to protest and you didn't. Rapapa said, those people that are in charge of the Jewish community, the Reish Kelusa, nitbasu al kuli amo, they'll be held accountable for all the Jewish community that does wrong if they could have spoken up and done something about it. And we see this, as Rabbi Chanina said, my desiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Hashem b'mishpat yavo im zikne amo v'sarv? Hashem is going to go and make din on the zikne amo and the officers. So where it says, im sarim chatu, if the people who are the rulers, if they sin, so how come zikene my chatu? Why are you holding the zikene accountable? The zikene actually says the Sanhedrin. So Gemara says, no, that's exactly what it means. Eleima al zikenim shalomichu bisorim. Because the zikenim could have spoken up, and they didn't. So therefore, even though the officers, the leadership, they're the ones that led the people astray, but the zikenim who could have influenced this will be held accountable. This is a good break point over here, although we can continue tomorrow discussing this concept that you're held accountable for people that do things wrong that you could have influenced them. But we'll stop the share now.